And welcome to 700 Live. And welcome to 700 Level Radio. I'm your host, Kyle Lutz, with Philly Sports Press Box co-host Jim Chesko, fellow friend and sports enthusiast like mine. I appreciate you coming on the show. It's good to have you back.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. So we're going to cover, there's a lot going on in Philly sports right now. Philly season starting back up. Spring training just started last week. Sixers are getting some young talent, but unfortunately a lot of injuries too. Flyers have been struggling as of late, and the Eagles are a little bit of a toss-up. So we'll start with the Phillies, who opened, like I mentioned, spring training last week. Their first game was last Friday, a 6-5 win over the Yankees. And today they lost to Tampa Bay, 7-2. Last year in spring training, they were 15-11. Not that that matters much. In the last few years, they've averaged 73 or fewer wins all 3 years. Season opener is April 3rd in Cincinnati, and the home opener is April 7th at Washington. Last year versus Washington, they had a losing record, 14-5 was Washington against us, and Washington won the division. Chet, is there a little bit more optimism this year? I feel like getting rid of Howard, buying him out for $10 million, Howard hit over the Mendoza line last year and hasn't really been a threat since right around the playoffs when they made the playoffs 5 consecutive years. I see this team as a lot younger team. You have Nola, you have Eichhoff, you have Velasquez, and you have some young, talented arms in the bullpen. Despite the up-and-down lineup, I think they're going to be a little bit better than last year. I kind of didn't give them enough credit, but when I did some research, I saw that their farm system was really good. Do you think they could potentially win, like, closer to 80 games this year, or is it kind of still in the making?
Yeah, I'm not ready to make my official prediction yet, Kyle, but they went from 63 wins 2 years ago to 71 wins last year. I think they should be right around 80 or 81 this year if all goes well. As you mentioned, a lot of good young talent. Howard's gone. Carlos is gone. So all the 2008 guys are now ex-Phils. And I think there is more optimism for sure. I mean, for one thing, all the guys who we saw in the last year or two now have another year of experience. We're talking about Odubel Herrera, Tommy Joseph, a pleasant surprise last year, Michael Franco, who, you know, struggled at times last year, but he's got some guys around him this year who could provide a little bit of protection for him in the lineup, you know, picking up Michael Saunders and the kid from the Dodgers, not a kid, Howie Kendrick, who's like 32 years old. So those guys should help give a little more protection to Franco in the lineup. And you mentioned the pitchers, Aaron Nola and Jeremy Hellickson and Eichhoff. They got a lot of arms, and hopefully a couple of those guys will blossom. So I think 80 wins sounds about right, and I would take that in this year.
Yeah, you know, it's a stepping stone. I originally said around 73, but I could definitely see them hovering around that 78 to 80 win season. As we mentioned, Velasquez, last season, in the middle of April versus San Diego, he struck out 16, and he averaged 10.4 strikeouts per game, and it was April 14th, first the Padres. Struck out 16, complete game, allowing only 3 hits. And with that win and performance by Velasquez, he became only the third Phillies pitcher ever in team history to throw a shutout and struck out 14 or more batters. Steve Carlton in 1972 and Art Mahaffey in 1961. What do you think of Velasquez this year? I think Noel is going to get better. He had some, I believe it was arm tendonitis, I liked the fact that Velasquez, he was up and down, but that's to be expected from a young guy. And I believe I looked at their roster this year, and they're one of the youngest teams in the league, right around 25 years old. Do you think Velasquez could win like 15, 16 games and strike out around 180, 190 guys?
Yeah, if he stays healthy and stays in the rotation. Last year they gave him a couple of breaks. He had a little bit of arm issue, nothing serious, but they limited him to like 140 innings or whatever last year. And, you know, it's funny, you mentioned that one game where he had the 16 strikeouts. I remember that game because I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike and I got stuck in traffic. So the whole time in Central Jersey, I was listening to that Phillies game and thinking, wow, this guy is really impressive. And then we saw, you know, he did throw some really great games, but then come August, he was really struggling to get past five innings or six innings because he was throwing too many pitches and walking some batters. So, you know, we'll see if he is improved this year. I'd like to see him go deeper into games. And you mentioned Aaron Nola also. The big thing with him is coming off the elbow issue that he had last year that kept him out the last 6 or 8 weeks of the season. So he says he's 100%, but you just never know. He's got kind of a funky rotation, so they're going to, you know, keep an eye on him and hope the elbow is healthy. But, yeah, you mentioned the youth. Nola is just 23. Velasquez, I think, is 24. So
yep.
These guys could have a lot of great years ahead of them. Just got to keep them healthy and keep them focused and hope for the best. And I like Eichhoff, too. I think Eichhoff's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you were mentioning about Nola. I was actually going to mention him. On Thursday, he'll make his spring training debut. It'll be his first game since July 28th. And last year through his first 11 starts, he had a 2.88 ERA, and opposing batters in those 11 games against Nola hit just 2.02. And like you said, he feels 100% now. I think he'll fare pretty well this year. And like you mentioned, those three top of the rotation guys are all within 23 years or older. But the problem is the pitching rotation, I don't know. I feel like they're still kind of learning. The good thing is they had a winning record in April of last year, and they kind of sunk worse and worse. 14-10 last April, and then they totally got worse and worse, especially as June and July came around, which you can kind of expect middle of summer. The rookies are showing their youth. But you buy out Ryan Howard, who hit 196 last year, and it's just been a total magnet for strikeouts the past 6-7 years. I thought that was a huge burden lifted. But I was wondering, I'm surprised a lot of teams in the American League haven't picked him up for at least like a million or two to be the designated hitter. I think he would be a perfect minus the steroids type of David Ortiz type of guy, you know, hit a fair amount of home runs, not having to play defense. And since Howard's getting up there in age, he doesn't have to worry about, being talked about the defensive liability. Do you see Howard playing in the American League this year?
Right now, I'm going to say it's about a 50-50 shot, but I'll tell you, I'd love to see him get another job. I like Ryan Howard. I think the guy is a good guy. He's a good guy in the clubhouse. And, you know, despite his problems last year, the strikeouts, the fact that he hit 196, he still, in limited playing time, managed 24 or 25 home runs, which isn't bad. So he could definitely help some of those American League teams. And, you know, if he didn't have to worry about playing the field and, you know, just worked on his hitting, he could still hit 20 to 30 home runs for a team in the American League. So I'm really, really surprised that nobody's taken a chance on him yet. Maybe they're just waiting to see, you know, how things are shaking out as we get closer to April 1st. And I hope he does get a call because I would like to see him get another crack at hitting some more home runs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you mentioned last year he did hit 25 home runs. But you look after 2011, we all remember that miraculous season. 2012 to 2016, he averaged 189 strikeouts per year. He hit only 226, although he averaged almost 30 home runs. So like you mentioned, if in the American League, he definitely has pop and still has something left in the tank. I think we both can agree to that, despite his strikeouts. And being in the American League, maybe teams are waiting on to see what the market value is. I think that would suit him well. But like you mentioned, we'll see what happens. And I like the fact that a lot of the other 08 Phillies were traded to the Dodgers. You don't have to worry about being them in the division. So it should be interesting. But and you were talking about some of the some of the acquisitions after the season ended and how Tommy Joseph is a potential player to look out for 8 days later after the David Buchanan release. Darren Ruff was traded for the Howie Kendrick, like you mentioned, to the Dodgers. So finally they were able to make room for Joseph, who was going between catcher and first base. Ruff, I don't think he ever was able to kind of not only shine, but I don't think he ever had a place because he was stuck behind Howard. You obviously aren't an American League team to be able to DH him. Over the past 2 years, Ruff was only hitting .228. And Tommy Joseph last year, 21 home runs and 315 at-bats. I think he could be pretty good this year on a more full-time basis. Do you see him regressing or maybe hitting like 25 home runs and improving his game a little bit?
Well, it's going to be tough. I'm hoping for the best, but you know, he may run into a little sophomore jinx because, you know, pitchers all have a book on him now. So they've seen him for, you know, nearly a full season. So it's not going to be as easy as some people think, because although he hit those home runs last year and, you know, played pretty well at first once he got into the lineup as a regular, the other teams now know what he likes and, you know, what kind of pitches he hits best and all that sort of thing. So it's not going to be easy, but he seems like a good young kid, and I really hope he does succeed. They do have some pop this year with Joseph, you know, coming back, and Franco, who again has a couple of home runs down in Florida already, two or three homers already. So I'm hoping Franco has a big year. I do hope to get a little more power. And I hope they get some power out of the outfielders this year because, I mean, Herrera led them in outfield home runs last year. The corner outfielders last year hit, I think, five or six home runs total, which is just pathetic. So now that they got Kendrick and Saunders, they should get quite a few more long balls out of those guys than what they got last year out of the left and right fielders.
And Kendrick is a little bit more athletic than some of the other guys that we've had. And like you mentioned, Herrera led the outfield in home runs last year. I really like Herrera's game. I think he needs to – I know he's like a top-of-the-order type guy, but in nearly 600 at-bats last year, he only had 15 home runs, but he did have 25 stolen bases and a decent decent on-base percentage, .361, an all-star game appearance. I don't know what you think of him, what his game is, but like we mentioned, he has a decent amount of pop. I think he's definitely a three or four tool player. He can steal bases. You know, if given the opportunities and the improvements, he can definitely hit more home runs. I think he definitely has a good mix of power speed. And although he committed a fair amount of errors last year, he actually ranked first in errors among outfielders in the National League with 9, but I think his range factor is really good, so it should be pretty interesting there. But that's not saying a whole lot when the team was really struggling with the home runs, but it should be interesting. And then, like I mentioned, they released this past November reliever David Buchanan, who was 2-9 with a 6.99 ERA last season. It's good that they're flushing away some of these horrible players, not only Howard, but like we mentioned, Buchanan and some of the other guys as well. They're not only purging themselves of the huge contract Howard had and some of the other guys, but they're looking for a mix of young talent and guys with a little bit of experience, and I can kind of understand that because when they – I'm not comparing to this, but I'm giving an example. In the 08 championship season, they had a good blend of young and old guys. They obviously had Hamels, and we know what he did and what he can do. He had a good season last year with Texas, and then they had guys like Moyer. So I think this could be a team like that. I'm not sure how you feel about that, but they got off to a good start last year, and I think with a little bit more contract space, they were 20th best in flexibility as far as contracts last year, and it should be even better now with contracts related to Ryan Howard's buyout this year. So it should be interesting. I don't know. They ranked dead last in the league last year in walks with .424, and they also ranked dead last in runs at .610. Do you think their lineup could be a little bit better now with Herrera being more experienced, with Joseph getting more opportunities, and I like some of the other guys that round out the infield. Do you see them being – I know that's not saying much because you ranked dead last in two important categories, but do you see a huge improvement, or do you see the pitching staff carrying this team?
I think there'll be some improvement all around. I really do. I think they're going to score a little bit more. As you said, they were dead last year. I think they averaged 3.75 runs per game, and that's just not good enough. As we were talking earlier, they do have a little more pop this year. Also, Kendrick and Saunders, I think both are a little more patient at the plate, so they should get a few more walks, which will help see more pitches and all that. I'm hoping Herrera does improve. He got off to that great start last year, made the All-Star team, but then he tailed off in the second half. He's right in his prime now at age 25. Remember, he came up as a second baseman, so he's still really learning to play center field. And they have a lot of young talent still waiting in the wings. You know, they got your Nick Williams. They got Dylan Cousins and Reese Hoskins, Brock Stoffel. They got the young catchers. Jorge O'Farrell was going to start the year down in Lehigh Valley, but he's ready to take over at catcher next year, I guess. I don't think Cameron Rupp's the long-term answer, although he did have a good year last year. So a lot of good young position players in addition to the arms. So I do think the future is bright. So, yeah, 80 wins this year and hopefully a little more run scoring, and then who knows in 2018 and 19.
Yeah, I also like we were talking about the outfield and the improvements that they need. Number one overall pick last year, outfielder Mickey Moniak, hit .284, 28 RBIs with the Gulf Coast League last season, and a fair amount of at-bats. So be interesting to see what happens with him, like you mentioned, in addition to some of the other young prospects with talent.
J.P. Crawford, too.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, a lot of people forget about him. So I think he could be another guy. There's so many young, talented pitchers that I'm actually excited for that more than the lineup. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's definitely within a few, I would say 3-4 years, they could make a good run at the playoffs. The problem is the division's so strong with Washington and now the Mets. Their rotations has been incredible the past year, not only with the World Series and World Series appearance, but just overall they have enough to strike a guy out, and then basically deadly stuff, especially Noah Syndergaard. And with Washington, we see what they can do, especially with Jason Worth and Ryan Zimmerman and guys like that. So We'll see what happens with that. I don't think they're going to compete for the division anytime soon. But like you mentioned, they have a lot to look forward to, fans do, and the team for the next few years. So,
well, you know, if the pitchers do develop, I think they can compete, not this year, but next year. Because as we were saying, they got a lot of young arms. So if a couple of those guys do hit, I think they can compete. The one problem, and a lot of people have said this, you look at all these guys, they all look like they're a solid number three or number four guy in the rotation. There's no guy who you say, yeah, he's a definite ace. Maybe Velasquez, if he is the real deal. But, you know, Nola, maybe a number two at best. Eichhoff, maybe a number two at best. Clay Buchholz, who they got this year, used to be a number one or two, but, you know, he's now on the downside and could be gone as trade bait if he pitches well. So Hellickson providing some experience and probably going to be the opening day starter. But that's an issue for me. They just don't have any clear-cut ace names in that pitching rotation. Hopefully, down the road, you'll see, as we said, Velasquez developing into one. But beyond that, I don't know.
And I like J.P. Crawford, as you mentioned. 4 years ago in the first round, he was drafted by us 16th overall. Prior to last season, he was ranked by Baseball America as the sixth best prospect in America, or excuse me, in baseball. And 2014 with the Lakewood Blue Claws of Class A South Atlantic League, he batted .295 with 3 home runs, 19 RBIs, and 14 stolen bases. I think he's a nice young athletic guy because I see a lot of shortstops with some power, and I think it's more reserved for guys like Crawford who can steal some bases, can run for a fair amount of bases on full counts, and can make some good plays and provide athleticism like we saw with Jimmy Rollins over the years. So I'm sure, as am I, you're looking forward to him coming up when that happens. So we'll switch over to the Eagles. A couple things to start with. Per NFL reporter Ian Rappaport, the Eagles will retain guard Jason Peters, who refuses to take a pay cut. Peters is going to net $10.7 million this upcoming season. Just turned 35, which I think is crazy that he's too stubborn, at least now, to take a pay cut considering his age. He actually made the Pro Bowl, I believe, last year, but they did an article on Pro Football Focus where they named him as one of the guys who made the Pro Bowl mostly because of his name, not that he had a really good season. What do you see playing out with Jason Peters? Because he's a classy guy. I don't think this will end badly, but I think he probably has a couple years left. I don't see him having another bad season, but the offensive line needs some help.
Yeah, and you're right. He made the Pro Bowl on name last year. He's been there like 8 times, and so a lot of times players just get there because they've been there several times before. He was okay, though, and the big shock to me was the fact that he stayed healthy, because he was, you know, so problematic the previous year in terms of finishing games and, you know, missing a game here and there in 2015. So he did stay healthy for 2016. We'll give him that, which to me makes me wonder if he's going to be able to stay healthy for this coming year. And I am kind of surprised that they gave him that full amount of money this year. I thought they would negotiate a pay cut if he was going to stay on the team. And that's a hurt, something that's hurtful in my eyes, because they don't have a whole lot of room in terms of salary cap space. And to add any free agents, they're going to have to make a couple of cuts. I mean, we expect to see guys like Michael Kendricks traded. You know, maybe Kelsey still, I don't know, but they look like they're going to keep him. But, yeah, Peters did have a decent year, but certainly not a Pro Bowl year. You got to hope Lane Johnson is definitely staying away from the juice this year, because they need him for 15 or 16 games. But the O-line played actually a little better than I expected last year, and hopefully the guys who got some experience last year are the real deal. So we shall see. The O-line, of course, is a key to any team's success.
And Wentz was able to make some plays at times. Once he gets out of the pocket, I see him making some good plays. The problem is his angle is screwed up, and he sails throws, which is a common rookie mistake. But it'll be interesting. According to the Inquirer's Zach Berman, the Eagles are not going to re-sign free agent lineman Benny Logan. This is due to defensive line cap issues and more out of necessity. As me and you know, they need cornerbacks and especially wide receivers even more. So there was reports that Logan would go to the Redskins. That's not huge news, but Logan could be a difference every now and then. I don't see that as a huge factor. And also another Inquirer reporter, Jeff McLean, said recently that fellow lineman Connor Barwin likely won't play here next season due to struggling under Jim Schwartz's 4-3 scheme. Struggled last year, and he's due to make $7.5 million this year. He is, however, agreeing to take a pay cut. I think he loves it here, but the problem is I think schematically it's not for him. I'm not sure how you feel about some of those guys and the new scheme. I actually liked Jim Schwartz, one of those guys that was a horrible head coach, but was pretty good as a coordinator, and it was a smart hire to me, despite my criticisms of Peterson. But some players, like I mentioned, and like other a lot of reporters and other websites had talked about, some guys had just struggled, and these aren't obviously, you know, rookie guys either. So I don't know how you feel about guys like Barwin and Logan, but it's good that they're kind of getting their cap issues in order. I don't know if you would agree to that, because they're trying to restructure contracts, and guys that are struggling under certain schemes, they're trying to trade them and kind of get deals organized. They're not lazy and kind of sticking around with the same formula. I like that they're being aggressive, I guess is my point.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to get some guys to take cuts or just, you know, release them. They already let go of Leotis McKelvin, one of the cornerbacks, which tells you what they thought about him, because they have a shortage of cornerbacks and they let one go. That's definitely a key. Connor Barwin, an interesting situation, because he's such a great guy. He's well-liked on the team. He's well-liked in the city. He does a lot for charity. He would love to stay, but right now he's another 50-50 shot at staying, because they do have to free up some money, and he did not have a great year. The new system isn't really conducive to him succeeding. He's getting up in age, so I wouldn't be shocked if they cut ties with Connor Barwin. That would not surprise me at all. But yeah, they definitely have to beef up the linebacking situation. They have to absolutely beef up the cornerback situation. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a cornerback with their first pick. Cornerback and wide receiver, obvious needs for this team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I'll get to wide receivers in just a minute. And we were talking about defensive lines. According to Jimmy Kemsky, linebacker Michael Kendricks won't return next year due to falling out of favor in a 4-3 scheme of Schwartz. Like we mentioned, other guys weren't either in favor and or just were lacking success with it that previously were under schemes. We were talking about Wentz. I briefly mentioned the fact that when he gets out of the pocket, whether the O-line collapses or he's trying to make a play with his feet, a lot of times he would sail throws. Well, a month ago, this according to multiple reports, Wentz began training with former minor league pitcher Adam Dideau. I can't pronounce his last name. Dideau has worked with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan. And last year, in his final 13 games, Wentz had 14 interceptions. And I think another thing, though, they got off to that red-hot start, 3-0. I know the first two games were kind of meaningless because they played below-average teams. But they beat Pittsburgh, who's a playoff team, as me and you know. They beat them pretty handily. Pittsburgh was their worst loss in almost 30 years, I believe. So my point being, I think that 3-0 hot start kind of cooled down. Any momentum that he had was basically shifted in favor of the bye week. It seems like every time that happens, they get screwed over. But I don't know what you make of Wentz's rookie year. Do you think the sidearm issues are like too much of a problem that can't be fixed as far as the mechanics this year? Because I actually like that idea of working out. This guy has a history with Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and the fact that they're trying to work on some things, I think is a good sign.
Carson Wentz is one of my least worries on the team. I mean, yeah, he had a so-so rookie year. At times he looked great, at times he did not look so great, but I have all the faith in the world in Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be just fine as long as they get some help around him in terms of, you know, keeping the offensive line on the upside and getting some help at running back and, as we discussed briefly, wide receiver. That's a definite issue. But Wentz will be just fine. Yeah, he sails the ball occasionally. He makes occasionally a bad decision, but it was his first year. He didn't really play, you know, a gazillion games in college. He had the injury his senior year. So he'll be just fine. Don't worry about Carson.
Yeah, I agree with you. And a lot of people thought that he was better than Goff. He seems like he has a better arm. And we were talking about earlier about the necessities for this team in the draft. Clearly, it's wide receiver. And that made me think, according to CSN Mid-Atlantic, they reported earlier today that DeSean Jackson likely won't re-sign with Washington. Eagles could pick him up. Jackson has said on multiple occasions that especially now that Chip Kelly is out of town, that he would accept and love a return to Philly. Do you think potentially a return could happen with Jackson coming back to the Eagles?
It could happen. I know he's hinted at it. He's kind of lobbied for it on occasion, depending on who he's talking to. If he's talking to people in Washington, he says he wants to stay there. If he's talking to reporters in Philly, he says he'd love to come back up here. I'm going to say it's about 30% him coming back right now. To be honest, I'd rather if he didn't. I just don't see it succeeding. He's, what, 30 years old now?
He looks like he's still got...
No, I think that was overblown. I just don't think he's got a whole lot left in the tank. I mean, yeah, he does have the breakaway speed still. He is the deep threat. But beyond that, he hasn't had that many great seasons where he's gotten, you know, 90 or 95 catches. So I'd rather get somebody younger like a Kenny Stills or whatever with more upside. So I'm kind of hoping that they don't bring D-Jax back.
And it seems like Jay Gruden, they were just moving more in favor of other receivers. Two seasons ago, they won the division, and it seems like guys like Jordan Reed were getting the majority of the reps and the receiving yards. Actually, that year, Reed led the team in receiving yards, 11 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards, and Jackson wasn't even top three in the team in yards. Pierre Garçon and Jamison Crowder rounded out the other two. So, like you mentioned, he's getting older. A lot of guys, they start losing their ability to kind of continue their focus. I think a lot of time it's a head game, too. Like you mentioned, even though the Jackson situation was a little bit blown out of proportion, when you get older and I think your talent starts to fade just because of age, I think you need to – for the players, I think they seem that – they need to overcompensate, and they worry too much about it instead of just focusing on the game, going out there and playing and not worrying about what's going on off the field. So I would say it's right around there too, maybe 40%, the fact that they bring him back. It's definitely not going to be McCoy. He's signed for a while now with the Bills, and he's pretty comfortable there. So we'll see what happens.
Although there was some talk last week that McCoy might be a casualty in Buffalo by getting cut. I don't know how much truth there was to that, but that would be very interesting if he suddenly became available, Sean McCoy.
Really? I didn't hear that. I would love a return there. And
some reports out of Buffalo, but I don't know if there's any truth to it or not.
Well, speaking of the offense last month, GM Howie Roseman said in a report that Carson Wentz will have input on the Eagles' offseason acquisitions, mostly within free agency, not so much having to do with the draft. But I don't like this move at all. I know a quarterback is the most important player on the team, and, you know, he's vital to the team's success and moving the ball around. And I know, obviously, other players are key into it too. You could have a horrible quarterback like the early 2000 Ravens and still win the Super Bowl, and then you could have great Hall of Fame quarterbacks like Marino who've never won one. So point being, the quarterback is so vital. I think if you add additional stress, it makes it worse. I don't know how you feel. What do you think about that move to make Wentz have more input on the team's acquisitions?
You know, I have mixed emotions about that. I don't think it's a horrible thing because, you know, he is the quarterback, so why not? You know, he's going to be throwing to certain guys and, you know, who's the running back going to be? So I'm okay with that. I'll tell you, I'd rather have him having some input than Jeffrey Lurie, because there's been talk that Lurie's asking for a little bit, or he doesn't have to ask, he's the owner, that Lurie is taking a little more involvement than he has in past years. So I'm okay, I guess, with Wentz getting a little bit of a say. And then I don't know how much say Doug Peterson has anymore in the player moves. Is it all Howie? So they're not always crystal clear with who's making the decisions. So it's a bit of a mystery.
It seems like Howie, but they want to kind of make it, like, ambiguous. And I like the fact that they're almost, for lack of a better word, catering to Wentz, the fact that they're kind of develop him, I guess the best word to put it. They're not only seeing what he can do last year, they're not rushing him, but the fact that they're working on his arm motion, they're seeing what he likes about other players on the market, and that should be interesting to see what happens. They obviously had a winning record the first three games of the season, then plummeted after that, had a losing season, and obviously another playoff failure, not making the playoffs, and we've seen that all too much recently. So we'll see what happens with that. A lot more to do in the off season, especially with doing with the draft. And they lost a lot of picks with that trade up to get Wentz, but should be interesting. Hopefully they can pick up a few wide receivers too. There was talk of them getting Alshon Jeffrey, but it's, I think a lot of it is pure speculation. So should be interesting.
You know, Kyle, the next 2 months are going to be very interesting because you have free agency starting up very, very soon. And then, of course, the draft at the end of April. So it's another key off season for Howie. He made a lot of moves last year. Some of them worked out. Some of them didn't work out so well. They've got to do it and do it right this year because, you know, the near-term future is at stake. So they've got to add some wide receiver help. They've got to get some running back help, too. Cornerbacks for sure. So you're going to get some in free agency, hopefully, and you got to draft well for sure.
Well, I think with that whole thing that happened with Chip, and then when he got hired here, and then they made him general manager, which I think was a horrible idea. And then once he got fired, Lori fell back in favor of Howie, who a lot of people think is like a son to him. He kind of lets him do his own thing as far as making the right moves. Doesn't criticize him. But like you said, this past end season, Lori seemed to get more involved. But we'll see what happens. Like you said, the draft could always be interesting, as we saw last year. So we'll see what happens. Always love the off season despite lack of success this past regular season. So we'll switch over to the Sixers briefly. Been a crazy amount of moves and injuries, and an interesting year, both bad and good. Last Thursday, they traded forward, who had a lot of potential, Nerlens Noel, former sixth overall pick, to the Mavericks for guard Justin Anderson, center Andrew Bogut, and a first-round pick. And on Saturday, in his debut with Dallas against New Orleans, Noel had 9 points, 10 rebounds off the bench in the 96-83 win. And earlier this afternoon, Andrew Bogut agreed to a buyout. Cleveland is a front runner to land him. He's also a top pick, and he was number one overall pick. So should be interesting. I thought that was interesting how they kind of flipped that and basically bought him out. I don't know how you feel about that. I really like Noel. It seems like they were trying to move Okafor for a while. I believe Noel was set to be a free agent this year. A lot of people were talking about moving him to get some value while they could. So I'm guessing that was the biggest reason for them moving him, because a lot of people were talking about his defense, and as we saw in this first game, like I mentioned with Dallas, has zero experience there, and yet he puts up a near double-double. And I feel like his offense needed to evolve a little bit, but his defense was really good. What'd you make of Noel as well as the Noel trade to Dallas?
I was a big fan of Nerlens, and I was really hoping they could have worked something out where he could stay. But he was going to be a free agent after this season, a restricted free agent, which means, you know, if another team gave him an offer of $18 or $19 million a year, the Sixers were going to have to either match it or lose him. And there was going to be some team out there that would be willing to pay him that, and the Sixers weren't going to pay him $18 or $19 or $20 million to be essentially a backup center. So that's why they made the move, I think, to just get what they could. And I think he's going to be a good fit in Dallas. I was hoping they could have got more once they decided to deal him because, you know, Bogut's gone already. He agreed to the buyout, as you said. Anderson, the kid they picked up, is a 5-point-a-game scorer for his 2-year career. Nothing overly special. And then you got what's going to be 2 second-round draft picks. And how often does a second-round draft pick have an impact? Maybe 1 out of 15. So I was hoping they would have got more, and I like Noel. I wish he could have stayed. I wish he would have said, hey, you know, let's make a deal. I'll stick around. You don't have to pay me that much. I'll stick around. I'll be the backup center. If JoJo is hurt, I can start. But it wasn't to be. As for Okafor, he's been a good soldier, but I'm just not a huge Okafor fan. He gives you offense. He played a couple of good games Friday and Saturday, but then in the Monday night game when they lost to the Warriors, he was pretty much invisible. Okafor is pretty much one-dimensional as I see it. He's a guy who can get to the hoop and score, but not a great defender, not a great rebounder. He did have a 10-rebound game on Saturday, but on Friday night, despite playing like 25 to 30 minutes, he had 2 rebounds. Not great for a big guy. Right now, with Embiid still hurting, Okafor's going to get a lot of playing time, so he's either going to show that he belongs to stick with the Sixers, or he's going to increase his trade value, and they can deal him right around the draft.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Not only as far as getting value in return for Noel, and as far as Okafor's upside, which I haven't seen so far, he had a pretty decent rookie year last year, 17.5 points per game, shot decently from the free throw line, considering he's a power forward and can play center, 68.6 free throw percentage, played around 30 minutes per game, but this year he's playing right around 23 minutes, almost 12 points per game, and you would think, I just don't see him as a strong enough guy, like a threat in the paint. He averaged most of it in his career as far as rebounds per game was in his rookie season last year. He averaged 7, and as far as Noel, in a month and a half, he'll turn 23. And this year, he's making $4.3 million, and then he has a qualifying offer for next year of $5.8 million. And a lot of people, they were saying he could play pretty good with the Mavericks. They're pretty good as far as a long shot in making the playoffs. But actually, in that trade, if Dallas makes the playoffs, the draft pick in return for Noel is a first-rounder, whereas if Dallas misses the playoffs, the pick ends up being 2 second-round picks this upcoming draft and the following one. So I see it I see it ending up being the latter.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And number one overall pick for Ben Simmons, unfortunately, will be out the rest of the year, according to a press release this past Friday. According to the Sixers, his right foot has not healed yet. This past October, Simmons suffered a Jones fracture and has been limited in practice all year long. It's unfortunate because we were all wanting to see him. It would have been great to see a 1-2 combo of him and Noel. Unfortunately, we struck out on both of those two, but hopefully we can get something with Embiid and Simmons next year. I really liked what Embiid did this year, and especially in the fact that he did it in such limited minutes, which was smart by the Sixers to do. So we'll see what happens. Are they a playoff team next year? I see it potentially happening. This year they definitely improved. I think they could be like a mid-30-win team. 18, although the defense needs to improve, 18 straight games this year they've allowed 100 or more points for the opposition, and 47 games this year they've allowed 100 or more points. I just want to end this before we end the show. A little bit of non-related Philly news. Tim Tebow, the Mets, who is a minor league affiliate for the Mets now, is still struggling in 62 at-bats last year in the Arizona Fall League. He hit just 194 with a .286 on-base percentage. And one more thing, this afternoon the Steelers signed Antonio Brown, All-Pro, to an extensive 4-year, $68 million contract extension, $19 million of which is a signing bonus, and the annual salary is $17 million, which makes him the NFL's highest-paid wide receiver, and he's paid till 32 years old, which isn't too bad. Last year, 106 catches by him, over 1,200 yards and 12 TDs. So it should be a pretty hefty payday for him come this year and for foreseeable future, too. So it was great talking to you, Chet. I appreciate you taking the time out to come on the show. Everybody keep an eye out for him and co-host Bill Furman on their show, and keep an eye out for my show as well. And we'll look for a lot more guests coming soon. Hopefully, Chet can join us more often, and as well as some other of my friends. Thanks a lot, Chet.